page 203.
Our trials here on earth we'll see someday.
Side have a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Anyone on the left? I don't want to miss anybody. All right. Well, great. Praise God. All
right. Little Emily in our prayers. Thank God she was not hurt seriously, but kind of banged up.
Absolutely. When I saw those pictures, I couldn't believe it. I know. Well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. If y'all would, if you can join us. Anybody watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. If you have a prayer request, just put it in the comment category, and we'll be glad to pray with you. There's so many other text blasts. I know that those that aren't able to be with us for whatever reason tonight, whether it's sick, shut in, but let's just keep them all in our prayers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, this opportunity we have to come in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we gather together, dear Lord, may we just continue to put you in our heart and our mind, dear Lord. Be receptive to your word, receptive to your spirit. Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, we just thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity we have to bring our prayers, our requests, and our situations to you. But dear Lord, we want to praise you first for your love, your mercy, and your grace. But dear Lord, for each and every spoken and unspoken prayer request, Lord, all those that come through on the text, those that are in the prayer box, those that are watching online, dear Lord, may they just feel your holy presence, dear Lord. Each and every need, dear Lord, may you just ask you to touch, to protect, to guide, dear Lord, to heal, to mend. And dear Lord, we're just going to give you all the honor and glory. And in the most precious name above, in the name of Jesus, we all say amen. 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 Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God. Praise God. As we were doing that song, I have to admit, I know God's healing my eyes, and I know the prayer's already gone forth, but as I was looking at the book, and I finally looked up there, and I said, I like the size of those words, too. They're a lot bigger, so I like that. So I just want to just love each and every one. And we're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering, and then we'll call on some special singers. Sister Susan, if you'd come first. Sister Linda, you got a song for us tonight, I hope? Sounds great. Sounds great. Sounds great. Praise the Lord. You got one tonight? We can throw one together. All right. Praise the Lord. As we take up the evening offer, don't forget about our Wednesday night. It is our Good Samaritan Fund, and it's just the Lord just continue to bless. Let's all stand, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again for this day and this opportunity. Dear Lord, we ask now as we prepare to take up this offering, dear Lord, that you'll continue to bless it. Lord, let it multiply to do your will, dear Lord, as we go forth. Lord, we ask that you'll touch each and every ministry that goes forth out of our church. Lord, bless our pastor and his family. Dear Lord, most of all, dear Lord, on this offering, dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have. Dear Lord, because everything that we have is yours. And dear Lord, we give you all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Savior's face and sing the story saved by grace. And thereupon that golden strand, the Lord for his unseen hand. He guides me and protects me every day, I know, through my travels. And I was thinking today, we've had a rough week with our computer system. Well, 2 months, but this week's been really bad. But I just felt so bad. I thought, you know, I don't think I'm going to make it to church tonight. My shoulders were hurting, my neck was hurting, you know, just tired. And, you know, the Lord spoke to me and said, now, who has helped you through this 2 months? You know, you could have just not made it. Who's helped you through this week? Who's helped you through today? You know, there's no excuse, you know, that you're not going today, tonight. And so I just spoke to the devil, and I just said, I'm going. I'm just going to give you a black eye, and the Lord is going to heal me before I get there. And I just thank the Lord that I feel better, and I'm going to make it the rest of the week.
Amen.
Satisfied my soul. Now as I face life's dark, troubled, stormy sea, I wonder if he is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what it has. Great eternity, his smile will say he is satisfied with me. I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan. I'm satisfied, it's sufficient for all man. I'm satisfied with his work on Calvary. But is my Lord fully satisfied with me? I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what it has. Great. with me. Lord, give me strength, give me courage, make me bold, that I might lead some lost sheep into thy fold, that I might stand unafraid, unmoved for thee, that you might be fully satisfied with me.
You got the words for what would I do? Yeah, Shepherd of my Valley. Let's see. What would I do without Jesus, the Shepherd of my Valley? Lord, I just couldn't walk this road.
Couldn't make it without the Lord, could we? Amen. Glad to know we don't have to be without the Lord. He's with us. Sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. In the morning, evening, noon, and night, he's always with us. Gee. I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low, but not one time has he failed me. Where to him with my trouble I go. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never, no, never make heaven my I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low. Oh, but not one time has he failed me. Went to him with my trouble I go. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never, no, never make heaven my Just let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never, no, never make heaven my Amen. Praise God. My name is thankful for Jesus. Amen. Glory. Has he ever blessed anybody? Has he ever healed anybody here tonight? Yes. Amen. Aren't we thankful for the salvation through his precious shed blood? My, my. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to feel his presence. Amen. Just good to be alive. Amen. It's there is so much going on in this world today. It's probably a dozen a day pass by that we don't hear something terrible happen. There's a lot of evil in the land for sure, a lot of death, a lot of sickness and affliction, and I'm thankful that Jesus loved me and spared my life till I could be born again. But my heart goes out to so many people seemingly who are not making preparation for that end of time, that day, whether it be the coming of the Lord or whether it be him just taking us away out of this life or us breathing our last breath. I really wish that there would be a revival that would just stir hearts and souls, that people would get ready to meet the Lord. A lot of folks are talking about the end time and talking about things that are pointing to the end time. And I know the Bible says no man knoweth the day or the hour, but it also says there's signs and wonders that will begin to take place and things that will begin to happen. And if you think about it in a literal sense, it would almost be like a puzzle that you're putting together. And, you know, you start putting the pieces together and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You get the outside and then you start putting the colors together. And all of a sudden, it begins to form a picture. And to me, it seems like the last few pieces are about ready to be put in. And I'm just not prophesying by no means at all, just by the signs of the time. But there's going to be a finished picture one of these days, and the Lord's going to call us home. Aren't you glad that we're ready to go? Should it be tonight, amen, we're going to make heaven our home. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go to the book of Psalm tonight, the 51st Psalm, A Psalm of David. We find David here in a repentive state. And boy, can we not relate to that. Aren't we glad that because we love a loving, have a loving Savior, he does understand, he is forgiving, and he will accept our repentance and our godly sorrow when we come to him. And I'm going to start in the seventh verse of the 51st chapter, the 51st Psalm. We may go back and relate a little bit to the preceding verses, but let's begin tonight in verse number 7, Psalm 51 in verse 7. David writing, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. God, we're so thankful, God, for the opportunity to meet here tonight. God, together in one mind and one accord. Thank you for those who are here tonight. Father, those who are viewing. Father, we pray your blessing and your anointing. God, we ask for your guidance. We ask for the Holy Spirit, God, just to anoint our lips of clay. God, that we would be nothing more than a vessel and an oracle, that you might speak to our hearts tonight. God, you might give us direction. God, that you just lead us and guide us, Lord, with your holy word. We do remember those, so many, God, who are sick and afflicted. God, many are suffering tonight. And Father, we pray a very special prayer of healing to each and every one of those bodies tonight. Lord, just reach out and touch them. God, we pray a very special prayer for those who are lost and undone. Father, I pray, God, prick their hearts, convict their soul, Lord. Bring them to an altar of repentance. And we'll be so careful giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you love the Lord tonight, let him know with a hand clap of praise. Amen. I'm not sure if they're going to be hand clapping in heaven, but I hope there is. Amen. There's something about clapping your hands for the Lord that just really gets excited, gets my spirit excited because, when I clap, I want to put my whole heart into it, you know, because I'm clapping for Jesus, amen, and I'm thanking him. When I begin to clap for Jesus, I begin to think of all he's done for me, amen, and what he's done for my life and for my family and how he's blessed me, and not only that, how he saved my soul. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for salvation. I am thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. I'm thankful that I know in my heart, amen, not because of anything that I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did, I know within my heart, amen, that I have salvation. By faith, I believe the word of God. I accepted him as Lord and Savior. I ask him to forgive me and fill me with the Holy Spirit. And thank God he has done that. To me, that is worth more than anything else in this world. And I'm thankful for that. And I do believe if the Lord came tonight by his faith, by faith in his promise, amen, that I would make heaven my home. But that time hasn't happened yet. There's a song years and years ago that Mother and a couple of the sisters sang at Rockmart. It said, "Until then, my heart will keep on rejoicing. Until then, I'll carry on." And it basically talked about, I'm going to keep living for the Lord. I'm going to keep striving for the Lord. And I'm going to keep working for the Lord until he comes. We used to have a little sign on, I don't know if it was back here or the other church, I believe. It said, "Worship the Lord like he's coming home. Like you're going home tomorrow." And then when it left, it said, "To work for the Lord like you got an eternity to do so." And if we can accept that analogy, worship and praise the Lord and live our life just like we thought he'd come back the next minute, but also work for the Lord each and every day that we have, just like we have eternity to work for him. And how many knows that we still, even though we think and read that the soon coming the Lord is at hand, we're still supposed to carry on for the Lord. So I want to visit David here tonight in one of his moods, I guess you want to call it. Have you ever got a testimony? Anybody ever get in one of those moods or any kind of mood? Are we moody? We're Christians and we're saved, but sometimes we're moody anyway, aren't we? Sometimes we're in that feel sorry for me mood. Sometimes we're in that rejoicing mood. Sometimes we're in a sad mood. Sometimes we're in a happy mood. And different things affect the moods that we're in. Amen, husbands? Sure. Different things affect our mood. Well, this particular time, David was repentive because he had sinned. You know, David was, I like to kind of categorize him as a young, on-fire Christian. I mean, you think about it. Just a little old bitty lad and out there in his dad's pasture keeping sheep, and he got the boldness, amen, with a little sling and a rock to go against a lion and a bear. That takes a lot of faith. But you know, David never hesitated for a moment. In fact, he went after them. And the same kind of faith accompanied him on the battlefield. When he walks out, he's going to take some food to his brothers and to see how the war's going or the battle's going. And he gets there, and there's no battle going on. The Israelites are standing on one side of the valley, and the Philistines are on the other, and they're probably just throwing insults across the valley. And there stands a giant of a man out there trying to get somebody from the Israeli camp to come out and fight him. And David says, "I'll go." And so he must have been really on fire for God to put his faith and trust in God. Because Saul tried to put his equipment on him, his helmet and his breastplate and all that. And David said, no, I can't use all that stuff. I've never tried it. I'm going to go against this evil man in what I know is going to help me to prevail. I'm going to go in the name of the Lord. Certainly, with those type of characteristics and accolades, David must have been on fire for God. God honored that, and God blessed him. God anointed him, even chose him through Samuel to be the next king to take Saul's place. You know the story, and that's a lot of history between the battlefield that David fought Goliath and the time that he was on the throne. This particular psalm was written while David was king of Israel and while he was on the throne. And he had erred and he had sinned. Now he goes into Nathan the prophet, and he begins to have a repentant heart. And he does this song. Now, David, you know, is known for his writing and for his songs, and also for his ability to play the harp. He must have been very, very talented, because even when Saul was troubled, he would want David just to play that harp and to sing or do one of the psalms, and it would comfort Saul's troubled spirit. So I can imagine David here feeling not like he's on fire anymore. You know, if you've ever been living for the Lord for a long period of time, sometimes you have to check that fire. See if it's still burning a little bit. And I'm just kind of being sincere and honest with you. Not that we doubt that we're not saved. Not that we doubt that we've lost or backslidden. But sometimes that urgency and that desire and that zeal and that fire doesn't seem to be burning quite as hot and as vibrant as it once was. And you know, different things cause that. Sometimes it can be sickness, affliction. Sometimes it can be depression. It can be situations at work and the problems in life. And all of those things have a tendency sometimes to keep us maybe from being as on fire for God as we once was. So David is kind of erring a little bit. Well, actually a whole lot. He's just sinning. You know, people don't like to call it sinning anymore. But sin is still sinning. And God is not pleased with sin. And when we sin, we must come. We have an advocate with the Father. We must come through the propitiation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. Thank God. How many is glad you got an ambassador? How many is glad you got an attorney, if you would? Amen. On call. All the days of our life, the Lord Jesus Christ will be there. But we must go through, and we must ask God to forgive us with a broken and contrite spirit. So David here in verse 1 says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies." And then he asked God to blot out his transgressions. Just to remind us, this is a psalm when David went to Nathan the prophet, or Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba, after he had sinned. And then David said, "Wash me throughly." Not just outwardly, but throughly. You know, when we repent and when we sin or we err, We don't just want God to just sponge us off. I remember many, many times when we would be kids and out in the yard and we get ready to go somewhere and mother say, y'all come on in and take your bath. And me and Dennis both said, can't we just sponge off? Is that a term we only used around the Allen house? I don't know. But, you know, as little boys, we didn't, you know, we didn't really want to go and get a bath in the bathtub. You know, that was, you know, that's when you got real, real dirty. So we wanted to sponge off. But I've never seen a bath that just sponges you off that can get you really, really clean. And that's the thing, a spiritual bath too. Lord, I don't want you just to kind of wash me off a little bit. I want to be engulfed in your spirit. I want to be washed throughly, inside, more importantly than the outside. And David asked for that. He says, wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. To get forgiveness of sin, we must admit it first. We must say, the Lord, you know, I confess and I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. And Lord, wash me throughly. Make me again to feel like I once did, to have that urgency and have that desire and that zeal to live for you. And then he says something that is very, very important. He says, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. So he knows that, and he knows that, you know, I can't keep it from God. It's affecting my life. It's certainly affecting my spiritual life, my spiritual walk with God. So this is the reason that I've been down. This is the reason that maybe I've been angry. This is the reason that I've not felt that joy or not felt that deliverance like I once would or did. And Lord, I yearn for that feeling again. I yearn for that victory. I want it again in my life. And this is where he begins with purge me, or not only purge me, but to purify me, maybe is another word that you could use, with hyssop. Hyssop being a bushy growth of vegetation that had many, if you read about it, it had many uses. A lot of times it was used for medical situations or ointments or a sweet-smelling fragrance. But also, it was used a lot of times when the children of Israel would celebrate the Passover. You remember the Passover when they dipped the blood and they put it on the post and the lintels of the houses where when the death angel came by, when the blood was there, he would pass over, and the children of Israel year after year would encourage to keep the Passover celebration. And the plant, the hyssop that grew, was perfect to dip in the blood and to sprinkle it as they did their celebration. So David was using an analogy, basically referring to the blood. If, in fact, we try to get forgiveness through any other way except the blood of Jesus, I don't believe we've been washed throughly. I believe we've just sponged off. And a lot of people think that if they can just say, Lord, I'm sorry, I won't ever do it again. You know, that's kind of a little spiritual sponge bath. But if we can think about the blood of Jesus Christ, and we think about him hanging on the cross of Calvary, and he did that not only for our past sins, but he did that knowing that we're human, knowing that at some point in time, we might be like David. Maybe we were on fire one time, and maybe we really, really walked in the newness of God and was obedient and submissive and trying to live the very best righteous life that we could, but we're human. We fell. We slipped up, and we need that precious blood applied to our life and say, Lord, please, purge me, purify me with that spiritual hyssop, with that sprinkling of your blood upon my life so that I can be forgiven, so I can return again and have the joy of my salvation. And he said, I want to be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And then what he wants to do, he wants to feel that righteousness and that cleanliness in his soul. The only way to do that is to confess and ask the Lord to forgive us and repent. And God will. That's the thing about it. So many times, we don't give God credit enough for his ability to forgive us. And the reason being because we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. But God is more gracious than you and I could ever, ever be. So David says, clean me. He says, why? Because I want to hear joy and gladness again. You know, you can be in one of those moods. You can be in one of those, or we can be. We can be in one of those down times and things that ordinarily would cheer us up and things that would ordinarily make us feel good. for some reason doesn't have the same effect when we're going through one of those times. At any other time, it would be joyous, and we could lift our hands and glorify and praise God. Have you ever really thought about it, that when things are going really, really good in your life, how everything looks great? I mean, you're just excited to get up. You're excited to go out. You'll even wave at folks. And I love that feeling when the world is right and everything is good. But, you know, by the same token, one of those times when we've been battling and we're having a hard time, you know, some of the same things that created joy in our life now is things that really doesn't get us as excited as it once did. David was going through this. He says, "Don't like me right now. Don't like me." Let me tell you something, folks. When we live with ourselves, we get to know ourselves pretty good, don't we? We get to know ourselves. There's times the world is great. And there's times, man, just don't want to talk about it. Don't speak to me. You know, Kevin's got these T-shirts. And, you know, one of the T-shirts says, "I'm not going out today. It's too people-y. It's too people-y." Well, we know Kevin. Kevin is, his idea of a perfect day is leave me alone. You know, just let him lay back there. He's fine. Just don't bug him. Same thing in his room. And we know that. But, you know, we're not really like that. You know, we're born again. We're ambassadors for Christ. And we want to enjoy life. But sometimes we don't even like ourselves. And I don't know if I can get an amen on that. Maybe I'm just confessing myself. But David was going through this. And he says, I want to hear that joy. I don't want to hear that gladness again. You know, when things are going right, you can hear the joy in the chirping of the birds. You can hear the gladness sometimes in just the gentle breeze blowing or a little creek running by. You know, you can just get joy about on anything when things are going right. Oh, but when things are going wrong, all you hear is horns blowing, sirens going, and grumbling and complaining. That's pretty much the way we feel when we're going through one of those times. And David says, I want to hear joy and gladness again. But in order to do that, Lord, I need you to blot out my sin and my iniquity. Not just forgive me, Lord, but blot it out. Now, we got to understand how God forgives. He forgives greater than humanity does. You may have had an opportunity for someone to ask you, forgive me. I know I did you wrong. I'm sorry. How can I ever make it up to you? And in your heart, if you're a Christian, you're going to forgive them, but you're not going to forget it. No matter how righteous you are, no matter how godly you are, and no matter how humble you are, you're not going to bring it up because you're a Christian, you're righteous, and you say, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do," but you still remember it. But God doesn't do that. When God forgives us, he forgets it. And then when we pray over and over and over again for the same thing, God said, "What are you talking about? I've already forgiven." That's called faith. And David said, "That's what I want you to do, Lord. I want you to forgive me and blot out that sin and blot out that iniquity. And the only way you can do that, Lord, is purge me, purify me, and cleanse my heart. I want to feel like I used to feel. I want to have the victory I used to have. I want to hear the joy again. I want to smile again. I want to be happy in the Lord again. And I can't do that because this thing is hanging over my head. And I don't know why we towed it for so long, because we believe and understand and know that God is a forgiving God. But we must come to him and ask him to forgive us." So he says, "Blot out my sin and iniquity." And he says, "I want a clean heart." A clean heart. Because I want to tell you, the reason I entitled this tonight, "Clean Heart, Right Spirit," is because it comes as a package deal. If you want the right spirit, you've got to have the clean heart. Because if your heart is not clean, if your heart is holding anger, animosity, unforgiveness, hatred, whatever those things, it's going to be very difficult for you to operate and walk in the right spirit. You may be a good actor and you may be a good actress and you may be able to kind of carry that around for a while, but sooner or later that spirit is going to be reactive to what is in the heart. It's just going to come out. So David said, "I want a clean heart and I want a right spirit." If we want a right spirit without having a clean heart, then we're asking probably for an impossibility. So if we ask for it together, "Lord, I want a clean heart. The way I want a clean heart is I want you to purge any and everything out of there, God, that is ungodly, everything out there that's a stumbling block, all of those things, Lord, that cause me my biggest problems in this walk of life. Let me tell you something, folks. We don't have time to be burdened down with a lot of junk carrying around in our life. Amen. God has forgiven us. We are the most blessed people on the face of the earth. Glory to God. Not only has He saved us and forgiven us, He's filled us with His Spirit. He's given us a promise. And when God gives you a promise, you can count on it. You can bank it. And my promise is that I'm going to a better place. Amen. And God, I don't want anything here to hinder me when you come or call. I want my heart to be right. I want my spirit to be right. I want any and everything in my life purged out, cleansed out right now in Jesus' name. And that's what David was saying. I want to be back like I was. I want to be that young fella out there on the battlefield, not a bit afraid of Goliath whatsoever. I mean, with his spear and sword and all I came out there was in the name of the Lord. And I want to be just like I was when I chased the lion down and the bear and with the power of God was able to subdue them. And are there any bears and lions in our life that need attacking? Amen. Many times they are. And let me tell you something. If you don't attack them, they'll continue to attack you. If you don't get victory over them, and now's the time to get victory. God, give me a clean heart and a right spirit. And then he says, cast me not away from thy presence. The most miserable person, I believe, in the world today is that person who has known victory, who has walked with the Lord, and then left the Spirit of God and left the fellowship of God and turned their back on Him and walked away. Because there is nothing in this world that can satisfy you like Jesus. There's nothing in this world that can take the place of a relationship with the Lord. You know what? A relationship with Jesus will make you have a better relationship with others. If we're a true Christian, we will have a better relationship with others when we have a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, you know, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You know, I think of Job. Just about everything that was near and dear to him was stripped away except his relationship with God. And what did he say? I came into this world naked, and that's the way I'm going to go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he fell down and he worshiped God. That's the type of relationship that I desire. That's the type of relationship that I must have. Amen. Because if we let these troubles come in and just gang up, we're going to be toting around a whole lot of burdens and contraband that we don't need to. So David says, you know, whatever you do, Lord, do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. And then he asked for restoration. Restore. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Rejoice. Lord, I want to rejoice. I want to feel that sense of just so much happiness and just a wonderful peace. And I only can do that if I know that my heart and my right spirit is where you want it to be. So as we live and operate in a spiritual realm, well, as we do in a natural realm, many of us have our heart checked. We have a monitor. We go have a stress test. We do some of the other things because we want that heart to be right. Amen? Don't we? Oh, yeah. We want that ticker to do what it's supposed to do. Amen? Because if the ticker ain't working, we ain't working real good either. But cannot we also do that in a spiritual sense? Lord, I just want to have an exam? Examine my heart. Create within me a right spirit. If there's anything in there that doesn't need to be, purge it, purify me, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restoration is really, really wonderful. Reviving spirit. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, David was saying that because he had been carrying this sin around in his life. And it was affecting his whole lifestyle. You can read it in some of the Psalms that he wrote. I mean, you could tell when David was sky high, his writings were totally different. The 23rd Psalm, wow, you know, just fantastic. The 150th Psalm, some of the other Psalms, enter into his house with gates with thanksgiving, all. But you can also realize that there were times when David wasn't feeling really, really sanctified or holy or righteous. And this was one of those times. And he said, Lord, I want that joy back. I want that victory back. I want that zeal back. Lord, I don't want to say, you know, go to church. I want to say, Lord, I get to come to church. I get to praise you. I get to worship you. I get to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I get to lay my head on my pillow at night, and I'm not worried whether I make it through the night or not, because if I don't, I got a home in heaven. Amen. There's nothing in this world that can give you that peace and joy like the infilling of the Spirit of the Lord to let you know, amen, not only is he going to take care of you down here, but he's going to prepare a better place for us. Amen. Let's go over to the book of Jeremiah before we close tonight. The prophet Jeremiah in the 29th chapter, verses 11 through 13. There are so many, topics, subject matters concerning the heart that are written in the Bible. You know, we know the heart is an organ, and we know the heart is the pumping station of the body, but spiritually, the prophets and the apostles and even Jesus referred to the heart so many times because it's really the living part of our spiritual life with God. And the heart is what God really wants. He doesn't want just the lip service or just the outward service. He wants us to walk and live for him from our heart. Has anybody ever heard the term, put your heart into it? What does that mean? Do the very best you can. Put all of your energy into it. Don't halfway do it. You know, be wholehearted about it. And that's the kind of walk that Jesus wants with us. And Jeremiah talked about that in verse number 11 of the 29th chapter. And he's prophesying. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I am so concerned that God gets blamed for a lot of things that he has nothing whatsoever to do with. A lot of people say, oh, God, why'd you let this happen? Oh, God, why are you doing that? And why? And many times, if we're just completely honest with ourselves, God didn't do that. Maybe we brought it on ourselves. Maybe it's just circumstances. I don't think sometimes we realize that it just happens sometimes. Not because that we're evil, not because that we're sin, not because that God said, you know what, I'm having a bad day, I'm just going to give them a bad day. No, God doesn't operate like that. He operates in mercy and grace and truth. So, you know, he said he knows the thoughts. And my thoughts for you, and I think God's thoughts for us, is to live a peaceful life, even in unpeaceful circumstances or inconvenient circumstances. And my thoughts of peace are not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Now Jeremiah here is again talking to the children of Israel, because once again they strayed from God. And he's telling them that God doesn't want you to live like this. God doesn't want you to live as in captivity. He doesn't want you to live a burdened life or be troubled. His thoughts are for peace for you. But then he says in verse number 13, and ye shall seek me and find me. How many is thankful that when we seek the Lord, we can find him? He's not hard to find. Amen. You don't have to go through the yellow pages. You don't have to go through three or four digits before you finally reach him. But he is instant there and immediately available for us to call on when we need him. Seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. Now, I thought about Jeremiah writing that. Now, there's a reason that things are written. And in my way of thinking, sounded like to me that maybe he was addressing to some people that maybe at time past had really sought God, but not with their whole heart. Maybe just sought God because they wanted things to be better in their life. Maybe just sought God because they'd gotten a mess of trouble and they needed God to help them out. And he will. He's a gracious God. But for him to write this, you know, you need to do it with your whole heart. God wants your whole heart. He wants your whole attention. He wants your whole submissiveness. He doesn't just want part of it. Man, and don't we at least owe him that? Man, he gave his life for us. Can we not live our life for him in righteousness and in truth? And we do need correcting. Amen. Thank God for the chastisement of God. Doesn't mean he hates us. Doesn't mean he enjoys chastising us. It means that he loves us so much, he doesn't want us to err. And when we do, he convicts us and we come to him with a contrite spirit and a broken spirit, and we repent and ask, Lord, get me back to where I need to be. And basically, that's what David said. So ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with all of your heart. Basically, sermon in a nutshell. Live for God with all your heart. Worship him with all your heart. Witness, testify, and work for the Lord with all of your heart. And you won't be saddened by the fact, amen, that you've given your all for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he certainly gave his all for us. He didn't have to, but he did because he loved us. And we should live our whole life, amen, wholeheartedly unto the Lord. And don't hold something in. That's the worst thing in the world. Because it's like a sore. You know, it's like a thorn. It gets infected. If you don't go ahead and get it out then, it may hurt a little bit when you get it out. But it'll heal a lot quicker when you pull that thing out and say, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have did that. I shouldn't have said that or whatever. Forgive me, Lord. I know I erred, but God, I'm calling on your mercy. And he doesn't and he won't turn us away. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, you talk about a true friend, a true Savior, a loving, gentle deity that calls us, said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm so glad that we can find rest in the Lord. How many loves Jesus? With your whole heart, my whole body, my soul and mind. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, give him praise. Amen. So good to see you tonight. I appreciate being able to visit and to fellowship with each and every one of you. And we do have a lot of prayer needs. A lot of folks still standing in need of prayer. And we want to remember them tonight. But if you have a prayer need before we dismiss tonight, please bring it to the altar. Certainly we'll pray with you, pray for you, if there's any tonight. Amen. Anyone? All right. How many just have an unspoken request? Would like to request prayer for someone else, some situation. There's a lot to pray for, amen. And God is able. He's bigger than any problem, bigger than any situation. Brother Jim, if you would come, dismiss us with a word of prayer. God bless you, church. We love you with all of our heart. Praise your name.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise as we get ready to dismiss. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Such powerful words tonight, powerful scripture. Just love the Lord and love each and every one of you. I'm glad again that y'all were able to attend, or those of you watching live or at a later date. We just welcome you. We're really honored to have y'all take time and just let us all share and enjoy the Lord and let him minister to us. And as those hands were just raised, all those needs of prayer, all those situations, those spoken tonight and those unspoken, and those that are actually being typed into the comments tonight, or we just know that God knows each and every situation. He knows our heart. He knows our needs. And as we get ready to dismiss, too, I know we talk about it many, many times, but let's don't forget about the teens and the other class and the young ones that's downstairs. There's so much in the ministries, and the lifeblood of God is just running from all generations, that we'll just continue to give him the glory. All righty. Yes, ma'am. No, it was supposed to be last night, and we didn't meet up. Okay, we're going to have to change it. Thank you for asking. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Lord, we want to praise your holy name again. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the freedom you've given us, dear Lord, and that desire that you've placed in each and every one of our hearts, dear Lord. May we have our faith in you. Our strength comes from you. Lord, our life comes from you. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory, dear Lord. May we move through these days and hours, dear Lord, with joy. But most of all, dear Lord, with the peace that you've given us, dear Lord, knowing that we can come to you as it was ministered to us tonight, dear Lord, not to hold it in, dear Lord, to release it to you, dear Lord. Let you cleanse us of our sins, strengthen us in our weak times, dear Lord, as we stumble. Lord, we ask you to pick us up, dear Lord, for each and everyone watching. Lord, I pray for those souls and those needs. Lord, those that are lost, dear Lord, if there's anyone in the sound of this recording or in this service tonight, dear Lord, that has not turned their life over to you or feel lost or feel unsure, dear Lord, may they just find that altar of repentance, dear Lord. May they know that through you, Jesus Christ, dear Lord, you are our Savior and our Lord. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. And also, as it was just mentioned, we did not have Band of Brothers last night. It will be rescheduled. I just didn't have a chance to text everybody, but could thank you for all your prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.